Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. As you well know, the votes of 7 million Californians was nullified today by one little Caesar by the name of Judge Vaughn Walker. One little Caesar in black robes has said that I am 7 million times more important than you are. One judge thrown out the votes of 7 million Californians, and this left-wing judge in a black robe has ruled that you have no vote whatsoever. Judge Vaughn Walker was appointed, by the way, by George Bush Sr. Today struck down California's Proposition 8, which said that marriage shall only be between a man and a woman. In a 138-page decision, Little Caesar assaulted and insulted the voters of this state. The Little Caesar called Vaughn Walker claimed that Prop 8 places the force of law behind stigmas against gays and lesbians. Little Caesar claimed that the right to marry protects an individual's choice of marital partner, regardless of gender. Now, let me go on to the next step. The fact that this Little Caesar happens to be gay is an issue. This is a bias. And the fact that the media refuses to report to you that Little Caesar is a member of the gay community is unto itself a bias. I want to assert immediately that the bias inherent in Judge Walker has been seen before. For example, during the campaign for Proposition 8, Little Caesar, the gay judge, forced those behind Prop 8 to turn over thousands of pages of internal memos to the other side, and Little Caesar Walker allowed the trial to be broadcast in order to embarrass the people who brought Proposition 8. Both of these rulings by Little Caesar were overturned by higher courts. So to begin with, you have an inherent bias in the form of the judge. He has shown himself to be biased, but the real question today, the real question today is not so much do you approve or disapprove of gay marriage, although that is fundamentally at the core of the whole discussion. The real question is this. Judge Walker says it's unconstitutional to ban a gay from marrying. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what is more unconstitutional? Is it not more unconstitutional that one man, albeit a stinking vermin in a black robe, one man has nullified the votes of 7 million people? Do you not think this is unconstitutional that one man shall have power over 7 million people? It's exactly why the United States of America was created, to avoid tyranny. So we have gone from black shirts to black robes in several generations. In the 20s and the 30s of the last century, Mussolini, the fascist dictator, sent thugs in black shirts with nightsticks out into the streets to beat up anyone who might oppose his tyrannical regime. Mussolini used brutality and he stole votes in order to get into power. But not even Mussolini had the audacity to nullify 7 million votes to achieve his ends. Tell me the difference between the black shirts and the black robes in America today. I want to remind you, Proposition 8 was passed by the voters of California in 2008. And even though the state voted for Obama, an overwhelming majority of Californians said that marriage was between a man and a woman. Even black voters, all of whom 90, 95, 98% voted for Obama, 90% of black voters voted against gay marriage. 70% of Asians or 80% of Asians voted against gay marriage. 80% of Hispanics voted against gay marriage. So how does one bitter little Caesar in a black robe have the power to throw out all of those votes? The only question for you today is Judge Vaughn Walker 7 million times more important than you are? Now, I want to ask you some other questions. How do you feel about one little Caesar stealing 7 million votes today? Number two, are you for or against gay marriage and why? Number three, do you actually think that all gays are in favor of gay marriage? Because I know it not to be true. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. My name is Michael Savage. This is an incendiary issue, and I'm going to invite you to call this show to talk about how you feel today learning that one man, remember, underneath that black robe, there is a man. Who has empowered this one man to have more power than you? Is it in our Constitution? Show me somewhere in the Constitution where it says one man's vote is more powerful than 7 million people. I thought this country was built on the edict of one man, one vote. How did it become one man, 7 million votes? How did this rotten, stinking creature think he has the power to throw out 7 million votes? It's clearly unconstitutional what this rat did today. And I'm going to tell you again, if your father or your grandfather died in a war in order to give you freedom, he's rolling over in his grave today because what this pig did today is steal your vote. You know, I'm going to get very emotional in a minute. I haven't yet warmed up. How the hell can you sit there and take this? How the hell can you sit there and say, oh, well, the judge ruled? I say the judge didn't rule. The judge stole your vote. The judge said 7 million people dropped dead. I am greater than you. I am Little Caesar. Now I'll go to the next step. You know, in order for a measure to achieve the status of getting onto a ballot here in California, a measure has to go through many, many legal steps. They have to prove that the measure is constitutional, and that's a good thing. If they didn't review it from a constitutional level, oh, you could put something on the ballot initiative that says we shall deport all illegal aliens. And then people would say, well, maybe that's a good idea, or we shall do this or do that. And you say, well, is it constitutional to do that? So they had a long discussion, and it was found that this ballot initiative was constitutional. It was hard fought, and it was won fair and square. It then went to the California Supreme Court. Even the liberal California Supreme Court ruled that gay marriage shall be illegal in the state of California. So what the vermin in the ACLU did, the few radicals in the ACLU, all of whom are subversives, every member of the ACLU is a subversive. If I had the power, I would investigate the ACLU under the RICO statutes. If I had the power, I would find them guilty under RICO statutes. I would seize all of their assets and I'd throw them out of the country. But I don't have the power. They have the power. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. We are living in a tyranny. It is a tyranny of the few. It is a tyranny of the few who continue to fly in the face of everything decent about this country. They will steal your vote itself in order to push their filthy agenda down your throats. And they did so today. That's right, they did so today. One Little Caesar in a black robe named Vaughn Walker, a radical left winger put in power by none other than George Bush Sr., has said today that 7 million people on the Supreme Court can drop dead because he's more important than them. Now, of course, this isn't the last stop on the train. It will next go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, all of whom are left-wingers. They belong somewhere in Romania in the 1950s rather than in the United States. No doubt the Ninth Circuit will side with Judge Walker because they're out of touch with the mainstream of this country. It will then go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I suspect that the Supreme Court will vote 5-4 and support Proposition 8. But when you see the votes of Americans thrown out the window by a judge, do you think that's something that is good for America at a time like this? Do you think that this is going to bring people together or make people crazier than they already are? Do you actually think that there aren't people out there who are not going to go crazy because of this? Do you actually think that people can take endless insults from the ACLU and the radical deviants in the left wing until something terrible happens in this country? The left does not know when to stop. The left will not stop until the country goes up in flames. Don't give them what they want. I'll repeat that. Don't give them what they want. They want insurrection so that their man in Havana, old Obama, can declare martial law and take away all of your rights altogether. This is the Savage Nation. How do you feel about one Little Caesar in a black robe stealing 7 million votes? Number two, are you for or against gay marriage and why? And make your argument succinct. Don't ramble on. Don't editorialize. Make your points clearly. Are you for or against gay marriage and why? That's the real issue today. Number three, if you are interested in this topic, you can call the show, but try to have a rational discussion today. Otherwise, it's going to be a bore. I mean, to get into a screaming match is boring television. I'm not MSNBC. This is a talk show 20,000 leagues above them. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Incidentally, I want to make a note that you should know about. I predicted this in my to-be-published book, Trickle Up Poverty, available not yet. It's only available 2 months from now. I wish it was out now. You want to get a sneak peek, go to Amazon.com, and you'll see yours truly, Michael Savage. You'll see the cover. You'll see what's in it. I predicted it. I said more things are coming. I make predictions in that book, Trickle Up Poverty, that you're not going to believe. I'll be right back. Savage. As you may know, today the votes of 7 million Californians were hijacked today, not by a foreign power, not by a foreign army, but 7 million votes nullified by one single man in a black robe. And I'm asking you today, how do you feel about one Little Caesar stealing 7 million votes? And then I asked you, are you for or against gay marriage and why? And that is the topic for today on the Savage Nation because, as you may know, a left-wing judge in a black robe overturned the votes of 7 million Californians today and said he knows more than they do. And he said gay marriage shall prevail, even though this has been tested all the way to the California Supreme Court. And so the left wing under the ACLU has shopped it to a friendly judge and basically said the vote means nothing. We're going to nullify your vote whenever we want, wherever we want, however we want, and drop dead. Indiana, Rob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I understand why a lot of people are upset about this court ruling. However, and all this is an unpopular argument, all you have to do is just remember back to the Jim Crow time. Now, because...
Again, Jim, please, will you please stop making a false argument? I've heard that argument 100 times. This is not the same thing as the Jim Crow rulings. I've heard that garbage over and over and over again.
The point I'm trying to make, sir, is that just because the majority of people believe something should be law, that does not mean that what majority says is...
All right, I've heard that argument as well, so let me ask you a question. Do you think it's constitutional for one man to have more power than 7 million people? Where do you think this man's power comes from? Are you implying that he knows more than 7 million people do? He's smarter than them, he's better than them, he's more qualified than them to make a decision? That's constitutional to you? That people go to the ballot box fair and square and they vote for something, and one rotten judge says your vote doesn't count? Is that your idea of what's constitutional?
Judicial activism, it all depends on one's perspective.
Now, you see, you're not answering the question. You're not answering the question. You're doing a side shift because that's all you're capable of. You damn well know he's a fascist, and you know that the fascists who tried to take this country from us 70 years ago could never do what this man did today. You know that. They try to make sure we had no vote in this country. Why should a man go to the ballot box if he thinks it's going to be stolen tomorrow by radicals in the ACLU? Why should he follow the law if he knows the law is corrupt?
Because if he believes that it is his job as a judge to believe that the law is the constitutionality of a law or the unconstitutionality of a law.
Wait a minute, my friend, you see, you're an ignoramus because the constitutionality of this law was decided before it even went on the ballot by teams and teams of lawyers. The constitutionality of this law was tested all the way to the California Supreme Court, and it was found to be constitutional. Yet this radical judge has said no to all of the previous findings. So you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do. I happen to be educated just as you are, sir.
I don't care how educated you are, but your bias is showing. Your bias is showing. The judge has committed a violation of our own Constitution by nullifying the votes of 7 million people. He has also nullified the votes of the California Supreme Court. What more do I have to say to you? The fact is you're celebrating because your agenda got promoted, that's all. But that is not the right answer. The right answer is what's right for America. This is wrong for America. You know that and I know that. And I'll tell you something else. This is very bad for the gay movement. It's going to set it back. It's going to make people very angry. People have accepted gay people. But they will not accept this. How is it that blacks who overwhelmingly vote for Obama, why is it that 9 out of 10 of them voted against gay marriage? Can you explain that to me? Why is that?
Or a judge? No, you're not. So therefore, it is...
No, wait, hold on. No. It's my show, not yours. Go back and listen to me. How is it that 9 out of 10 blacks in California who voted for Obama voted against gay marriage? Why do you think that is?
can't tell you what the reason is, but the fact is...
No, you can tell me the reason. You don't want to tell me the reason. How is it that 7 out of 10 Hispanics voted against gay marriage? Can you explain that to me?
Because they use...
How is it that 9 out of 10 Chinese have voted against gay marriage? Are they all stupid?
Because they were following the tenets of their... Now, the problem is when you have religion and politics mixing, that's a very bad mixture.
So it should only be politics and the ACLU. Religion and morality should have no place in American society. Rob, is that what you're saying? Morality and religion have to go, but statism has to stay? Whatever the judge says goes, but what God says doesn't go?
Of course, I'm saying that we need to have morality in
politics. No, you don't believe in morality. You have no idea what morality is. To you, morality comes out of the barrel of a gun. You're like all the other Marxists in the Obama administration. And I'll tell you something else. This is the worst possible thing that could have happened to this country right now. San Francisco, Kyle, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'm one of the many gay men that are disappointed by this ruling. 7 million Californians were basically flipped the bird by this one activist judge. What I don't understand is the whole liberal mentality that if you want something, it's automatically a right. The right to health care, the right to partial birth abortion, and now the so-called right to marriage.
But it's interesting that you're calling. I don't know whether you're gay or not. It's really your business. I want to put myself on record. I've gotten in a lot of trouble with gay radicals in this country, as you well know, because I'm misunderstood. I am a sexual libertarian. I've been on record with that for years. I personally don't care what adults do in the privacy of their own home. I never have and I never will. It's not the state's right to tell people what to do in the privacy of their own home. But this is not about gay. This is about the sacred and fragile institution of marriage, which is already in trouble. Why does the radical movement need to destroy marriage, which is what this is all about? This is clearly a Marxist tactic to undermine the institution of marriage itself. I have read Karl Marx. I have read Das Kapital. I know where this is coming from.
Savage.
Breaking news coming out of California.
As we turn our attention here now to some breaking news.
Proposition 8 has been found to be unconstitutional.
The judges overturned the gay marriage ban in that state.
This is huge.
2 o'clock this afternoon, California time. Gay marriage is now lawful in California.
On Proposition 8 coming to us from California as a district judge has overturned.
All right, we heard what all of the talking fools had to say today, but they're missing the point. The big point is that one judge has nullified the votes of 7 million Californians. This is after the constitutionality had been looked at, both before it was put on the ballot, number one. It was looked at the California State Supreme Court level, and the California State Supreme Court ruled in favor of Proposition 8, but they shopped it back to a friendly judge, a radical judge in a black robe, by the way, named Vaughn Walker, a little dictator, a little Hitler, a little Caesar, whatever you want to say. He did to you today, if you live in California, what the enemies of freedom have not been able to do. The enemies of freedom, I was told when I was a little boy and I was a Boy Scout, I believed in it. I used to go door to door and give out little things that hung on the doorknobs that said, get out the vote. I worked my tail off. I believed the vote was sacred in this country. Then I wake up and find out that my vote has no meaning. Years ago, I voted for Prop 287 in the state, which would have denied medical care for illegal aliens. It would have denied medical care and schooling for illegal aliens. 7 million people voted for that ballot initiative. One rat from the ACLU said drop dead to the voters. He was soon thereafter dismissed from his office and went into hiding. Now they have shopped it to another old fool in a black robe who will soon disappear from the courts as sure as I'm sitting here, because he'll probably move to the Honduras to get away from what he has done to this country. But make no mistake about it, there is a cabal of radical leftists in this country who are out to destroy the country itself. Let me go back to basics. I have read Karl Marx. You have to understand the underpinnings of all of this gay marriage business in order to understand what is actually going on. Karl Marx wrote in his manifesto that the institution of marriage is a bourgeois institution that must be diminished, that children are property, they really don't belong to anybody, and they shouldn't be treated as property. And the thing that stood in his way the most was the family. The family was the strongest brick of civilization that had to be atomized in order for the communist agenda to be advanced. The communist agenda, if you take away the word communist, basically think of the word state-controlled. Think of Obama as a big-eared dictator who likes to get up in the morning and tell you what to do. Think of a big-eared dope who was put into power by strange individuals like George Soros, in my opinion, and other moneyed people who took money from all over the world to put a stooge in power to force the communist agenda down our throats, whether it be General Motors, being now Government Motors, whether it be Obamacare, you name it. This is all part of the socialist agenda, which you've heard 1,000 times. But what you don't understand is that the strongest brick in the struggle against them, the thing they must destroy, is marriage itself. Because if you kick out the brick of marriage, you destroy the family. Once you destroy the family, there's no unified element against the state. The state will take over every aspect of your life. You see, right now, the nasty little family has children. And the nasty little family has the right to tell children what to do and what not to do, what to eat, what not to eat, whether to smoke cigarettes or not smoke cigarettes. But Obama doesn't like that. Obama wants to dictate whether your child can have a jelly donut. Obama wants to dictate whether your child can have a beer. Your child should know only what the government wants it to know. They want to annihilate the family as a ruling entity in this country. And one of the strongest ways to do that is to undermine the institution of marriage itself. That's what this is all about, which is why most gays could care less about gay marriage. Get me on record with that. Most gay people care not an iota about marriage, not one iota. This is a small, hardcore leftist band within the gay movement that is part of the entire international movement to make the entire world a one-world government. Most people don't understand this. It's beyond the average man. All the average man and woman knew when they went to the ballot last time was, am I in favor of marriage being the way it is, or I want to redefine it so it can be anything? And even the simplest man and woman, even immigrants who hardly understood English, said, I think it's wrong for a man to marry a man. I think it's wrong for a woman to marry a woman. It's bad for our children to see that. We don't want our children to live that way. If they do, we might still love them. We prefer that our boy marries a girl and has children. It's the way of the world. We prefer our daughter to marry a man and to have children. The simplest immigrant understood that. That's why most of them, 90% of them, voted against gay marriage. So now we wake up and we find out that although the people did it peacefully, they didn't pick up guns, they didn't hang anybody, they didn't bomb anything, they didn't curse anybody, they went to the ballot box. They did it fair and square. And what happened? A few radicals in the ACLU, the most subversive organization in the history of America, who have judges in their pocket, who have the law schools in their pocket, who have the media in the pocket, who have politicians in their pocket, a few radicals in the ACLU have said, we must destroy marriage. We must get rid of marriage. How best can we do it? Well, let's undermine the institution itself by redefining what marriage is. Once we redefine it, we can control it. Once we control it, we can destroy it. That's what this is really all about. I see the bigger picture. It's all spelled out in my new book, Trickle Up Poverty, which is not available, but you can pre-order on Amazon.com. I'm very excited because I saw this coming. I predicted this would happen. I predicted that although the California Supreme Court had found this to be constitutional, I knew that the radicals in the ACLU would find a judge like Vaughn Walker, which they did today, and they would overturn the votes of 7 million people. Let me put it to you another way. Let's say you had a grandfather who fought in World War II to make sure Hitler didn't take over the world. Now, why would your grandfather have risked his life if he was in one of those situations where he could or could not have done so? Why did he risk his life? He did it for liberty. He said to himself, I need to leave the country a free nation. I don't want it ruled by one man and a group of gangsters. I don't want a group of gangsters running the world. I don't want a group of gangsters running America. I want the people to have the power over their own lives. That's what individual liberty means. Now you wake up and you find out that a gangster in a black robe has done what Hitler himself couldn't have done. He nullified the votes of 7 million people. Do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? Can you follow what I'm saying to you? Put aside gay marriage for a minute. Make it another issue. Make it an issue about animals or animal rights. Make it an issue about, I don't know, the sun. Make it an issue about the moon. It doesn't matter to me. So people put a ballot initiative issue up. They vote for it. And it passes by an overwhelming majority. And then what? One judge says, I don't like the ruling, so I'm going to throw out the votes of 7 million people. What is going to motivate a man to go to the ballot box next time? So is it your intent on the left to make sure people don't vote at all? Is that your desire to make sure there is no democracy? That's another secondary desire, isn't it? Is it not your desire to see people so disheartened that they throw up their hands and they don't vote at all so that you can continue to bust people in through Acorn or the rent-a-mob so that only you vote? You see, I see the bigger picture. You think I don't see the bigger picture. This has almost nothing to do with gays. It has everything to do with the destruction of democracy. And by the way, what this rat did today, this rat in a black robe, and I'll say it until I'm put in jail. I'll say it again. This filthy rat in a black robe did today what Hitler couldn't do. This filthy rat in a black robe, I have no respect for him. What the hell do you want me to do? Say, Judge, my behind is a better thing to look. I don't get me started. I'd like to break something right now. You don't even understand what this man did. This filthy rat in a black robe, Judge Vaughn Walker, that's what I think of him. A filthy rat in a black robe. I don't care if he's a federal god. He's nothing but a filthy rat in a black robe to me. Who the hell is he? He's one stinking man who went to law school. That's all he is. Another bum with a law degree who played his cards right. He has the right to throw out 7 million votes? Now, what if it was the other way around? What if this was the other way around? What if the left had passed a ballot initiative that went through all of the years of discussion and struggle and constitutional readings, and it got on the ballot, and then it was passed by a 52% majority, and then it was taken to the Supreme Court, blah, 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 and then it was bounced back and shopped to a right-wing judge, and the right-wing judge nullified the votes of 7 million left-wingers. Do you think they would see it any differently than I am? No. And you mark my words. If you're on the other side of the aisle, you mark Michael Savage's words. You're going to come to regret your support for a judge who has assumed super constitutional powers, powers he does not have. He does not have the right to do what he just did today. This is a shuck and a jive from the top down. This has been decided 10 different times to Sunday. It went to the California Supreme Court. But the rat, and I can tell you who, I'll name the rat. I'll tell you where he lives. I'll tell you the rat who did this. The rat teaches at one of the law schools. The rat is a lawyer for the ACLU. That filthy rat has done it to us with every ballot initiative. His name is Chermaninsky. That's right, Chermaninsky did this. The rat's name is Chermaninsky, and he teaches at UC Irvine. Chermaninsky, the rat, is the rat behind these rats. I'll be right back. Now, this notorious decision today by the Little Caesar in San Francisco, Judge Walker, brings up once again the importance of the Senate vote tomorrow on the nomination of the other radical, Elena Kagan, to the Supreme Court, because Elena Kagan opposes the American people. Elena Kagan is a growing threat to the survival of America itself. Elena Kagan should not be approved tomorrow. Elena Kagan makes the Little Caesar of Judge Walker little indeed. She would be a big Caesar, believe me. Albany, New York, Kevin, your opinion counts. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, yeah, the way I see it, I don't think the government should have any say in your love life, whether you be heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, whatever it is.
Let's stop right there. You're confusing issues. This is not about love life. This is about marriage.
Okay.
What is the purpose of marriage? Do you have any idea what marriage as an institution is designed to do? Let's go back to that. What is marriage designed to do?
So I would say unite two individuals. The way it's
yes.
now, it's
to create a bond between man and woman so that they hopefully have children, so that society doesn't die off. Wouldn't you say that's a simple definition that is somewhat true?
That could be true. But you don't need marriage to reproduce.
Like most liberals do and not get married. That's right. They can copulate and produce children.
You're right in that society kind of...
But we're not talking about liberals who don't have the guts to marry a woman and raise children. We're talking about people who take a commitment to marriage in order to raise children. That's the fundamental brick of civilization called the family. So what this is about the family at the end of the day.
Okay. The thing I don't understand is how would the homosexuals getting married affect a heterosexual family?
Well, they don't affect the heterosexual family directly. In that regard, the argument is a false argument. The fact of the matter is that homosexual marriage degrades a weakened, time-honored institution.
Okay.
It degrades what real marriage is. It mocks real marriage. The destructive effects may not be immediately apparent, but the cumulative effect of attacking the time-honored institution of marriage is inescapable.
Okay. So you're saying that marriage is a sacred institution, then?
I think it should be. I certainly do think so. It's always been so.
I could agree with that. I'm assuming you're coming from like a Judeo-Christian value set.
I'm not ashamed to admit that. Yes, that's part of my religious teachings. Yes.
Okay.
That's part of my religious teachings. Yes. Should I be ashamed of my religious upbringing? I mean, shall I hide that now in the new Obama, the new world of Obama, where religion is now suddenly as evil as pornography was 50 years ago? It seems pornography is considered to be more wholesome than religion is today under Obama.
But the issue is, I have looked for this, and I can't find a passage in the Bible that says it's between one man and one woman. There are plenty of...
Well, that's because people weren't insane 5,000 years ago. They didn't need the further definition. I mean, no man who was gay 5,000 years ago would have wanted to be married. Why would he want to be married? Tell me what the reason is. Explain it to me.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there.
Tell me why a man would want to marry another man. Tell me the reason for that, other than to mock marriage itself.
Well, if he's homosexual, then that would be his own deal. I mean, I'm not, but if that's what he wants, then that's okay with me.
Because you're a young person who's been brainwashed into accepting virtually anything, no doubt.
I wouldn't say that. What I'm asking you is, you just made a comment about how that was, 5,000 years ago and this, that, and they didn't need an extra definition. Because it does come, there are rules in the Bible for dealing with inheritance issues for a man who has more than one wife. So,
Were you raised in any religious belief yourself?
Roman Catholic, yes.
So the Roman Catholics, do they accept homosexual marriage?
Not as far as I know, no. The church doesn't.
Should Roman Catholicism be made illegal by Judge Walker because it violates the constitutional rights of homosexuals? Should Roman Catholicism be banned?
You're misunderstanding me. I don't agree with the judge's decision.
No, I'm asking you. Isn't that what's coming next?
As Roman Catholicism being banned?
Yes, sure, and Judaism as well.
What I'm asking...
Why not? Because it discriminates against gays. Why shouldn't these religions be made unconstitutional?
Because
inherently, morality discriminates against somebody, doesn't it?
There's a right to practice your religion.
Well, but not if it discriminates against certain subgroups. And then, therefore, the religion should be banned, shouldn't they? Rabbis should be arrested, synagogues closed down, churches closed down, mosques closed down, Buddhist temples closed down, because they all support traditional marriage. That's a violation of the Constitution, according to Judge Walker.
Well, no, because the religion doesn't have any say in the law. The Roman Catholicism...
What do you mean it has no say in the law? It does. The religions all teach that marriage is between a man and a woman. Every religion on earth teaches the same thing. Marriage is between a man and a woman. So therefore, they're teaching discriminatory policies, aren't they?
There's no passage in the Bible that states that marriage is between one man and one woman, though. See, that's
You mean marriage could be between a man and a frog, according to the Bible?
It doesn't, but it does state that polygamy is okay.
Have you read the Bible recently? Because you're wrong about that, Kevin. The Bible's very clear about what marriage is. It's so clear that it doesn't have to spell it out for people who don't even understand the difference between a man and a woman.
Where does it say that it's between one man and one woman?
my friend, you know and I both know you're begging the question. You're begging the question, and you know you're begging the question. The issue is not about the Bible. The issue is about one judge nullifying the votes of 7 million people. Does that not disturb you?
It does disturb me, but Mr. Savage, you asked me how I felt about the gay marriage issue.
And so how you felt about the marriage issue. So you don't really care who gets married in your own personal thinking.
I care who I marry, but anybody else, it's their business. And I don't think anyone should have any say in that whatsoever.
So let me ask you a question. When I got married many, many decades ago, I had to take a Wasserman test to make sure that neither I or my future wife had syphilis. Are you aware of that? That there was such a thing? That a government was so draconian that they wanted to make sure people did not have syphilis before they got married? Can you imagine? I grew up in such a Stone Age culture.
You must be pretty old.
Do you think that the state has the right to determine whether or not individuals are diseased before they get married or not?
If that disease can be passed on to children, I could see it, but I'd have to learn more about it.
All right. So you could see some state involvement in a religious precept of marriage. So therefore, you've nullified your original argument that religion should have no effect upon a marriage.
As far as it affecting other people, the people being...
In other words, the state has a distinct obligation to protect itself as a society by enforcing laws which uphold the society itself. And the brick of all civilization is the family. So the state has a distinct obligation to support those laws which support the brick of civilization, which is the family, not to undermine that brick of civilization. That is why they had tests for diseases in my day. But today, apparently, diseased people can get married.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the shocking news today is that one judge has nullified the votes of 7 million people in the state of California, which will have deep ramifications across the land. I want to remind you that I think it's now 18 states have gone to the ballot box and voted for or against gay marriage. And in not one state has gay marriage been upheld. Everywhere it has been voted upon by the people directly. This is called direct democracy, incidentally. The ballot initiative is the only area left in America where there is direct democracy. And what's paradoxical about this, or ironic rather, is that the left wing itself is the wing that brought in the ballot initiative many decades ago, saying that we needed direct democracy. So now here's an unbelievable situation. Through direct democracy, the people say, no, we don't approve of gay marriage. We're not discriminating against gays. Leave the institution alone. It's between a man and a woman. It's shopped back to a radical judge who himself happens to be gay, Vaughn Walker, and he says no to 7 million votes. Now, let me tell you where I come from before we continue this discussion, because I know that it's somewhat controversial in some ways, but not that controversial in others. When this was put on the ballot initially, if it had, after the election, I remember sitting here watching it and saying, God, I hope this thing, Prop 8, passes. It did pass. I said to myself, but you know, if it didn't pass, I could have lived with it. Meaning, if the people had voted against Prop 8, I would have lived with it. I would have said, well, the people voted. That's the way it is. I'm a pretty basic person when it comes to the ballot box. I kind of have faith in democracy, as uncomfortable as it often is. When it was taken back and attacked and then went all the way to the California Supreme Court, I remember waiting for that. And I said, God, I hope that the Supreme Court does not invalidate Prop 8 But they didn't. But I could have lived with it if the Supreme Court had invalidated it. But when I see the radical vermin on the left reshopping an issue like this to a friendly judge, and he throws out the votes of 7 million people, I fear for my country. This is going to take people who are marginal to begin with, who have no faith in this country, have no faith in the institution of the vote, and they're going to become violent. And that's why I am concerned. Now, the next point I want to make is this. I had a caller in the last hour who said, I don't know of anywhere in the Bible. No, he actually said, nowhere in the Bible does it say that marriage shall be between a man and a woman. Let me read to you a few little pieces from the Bible that I think anybody can understand. It has nothing to do with gays, incidentally, so stop sitting on the edge of your chair. We're going to go to Genesis. Genesis 26 is this. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Now, in 27 of Genesis, it says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Did you hear what I just said? Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. You then go on to Genesis in 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Did you hear that? And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto the man to see what he could call them. And whatsoever the man would call every living creature, and that was to be the name thereof. And the man gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I'm not God. I'm not a prophet. I'm a simple man. I was born, I am living, and I will die one day. This is my rock of ages. You take it away from me at your own risk. Go ahead, make my day. Take away my Bible. New York City, WORO, and you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. You were talking quite a bit in the last hour about the validity of a judge removing the will of the people via judicial decision as opposed to referendum. And with all due respect, I think that you're a little bit overboard in calling the man an activist justice.
And I didn't call him an activist justice. I called him a rat. And I said that what he did was something even Hitler himself was not able to achieve, which is to nullify the votes of 7 million people. I didn't call him just an activist judge. I have much stronger feelings about this rat in a black robe. I mean, all he is a lawyer, isn't he? All Judge Walker is one man. Do you assume that he has more knowledge than 7 million people? What, does he have some supreme knowledge that I don't have?
You know, the reason that the judiciary is not directly elected but is appointed by the president with the consent of the Senate is so that political considerations are not taken in, and rather that it's judged on the basis of the Constitution and on, you know, equal rights and whatnot.
But you're assuming that this is the first constitutional reading that this ballot initiative has been afforded. You are mistaken in that, my friend. I don't think you're familiar enough with the ballot process, because I don't think you have them in old New York. But California, which I believe started the ballot process, is very careful in which measures make it to a ballot. They have to go through very careful constitutional muster and pass that constitutional muster in order to qualify for the ballot. Are you aware of that?
Yes, but you see, Dr. Savage.
No, well, don't yes but me. So it's been found to be constitutional right from the beginning, right from the get-go. So the only reason that they took it to this rat in a black robe is because they lost at every turn.
Level, which is different. Two different documents.
I didn't hear you. What's two different documents?
Oh, the California State Constitution and the federal Constitution. And previously...
Well, now you're changing the argument. You just said to me that the ballot initiative was not constitutional. Now you're saying it isn't or it is?
No, I'm saying that it was the litmus test that it passed was based on the California Constitution, not on the federal Constitution.
I see. So in other words, again, a few rats at the federal level have more knowledge than anyone at a state level? Obama knows more than I do?
The rats you were talking about would be the...
You're saying that a judge inherently is smarter than I am? You're saying a judge is inherently better than I am? All a judge is a bum who went to law school who played his cards right. Who gives him God Almighty? Who gives him the authority to take away the votes of 7 million people? Where is it written in the Constitution that one judge shall nullify the votes of 7 million?
Yeah, right. Sure. 7 million people voted for Proposition 8. And, I mean, they're perfectly entitled to their opinion. But the reason that the judiciary is insulated is so that the tyranny of the minority, of the majority, sorry, don't take away the rights of the minority.
So, in other words, you're happy that a single judge can overrule the votes of millions of people?
I think that, yeah, in this case, yes. I mean, if it was the other way around, I would still think that the judge's decision should be...
In this case, yes, because you're in favor of gay marriage. But I'm warning you and I'm cautioning you to not celebrate too soon. Because the day will come, as sure as I'm standing here, that the left wing will pass a ballot initiative... And it will be shopped to a right-wing judge when the country throws Obama out and throws out the entire Democrat Party. We will have a right-wing judge who nullifies the vote of the left-wing in a ballot initiative. And what are you going to say then? You're in favor of it as well because the judges are smarter?
No, I think that the judge's decision should be upheld until it's appealed. And I'm sure that this case will make it all the way to the Supreme Court.
But again, you see, you're acting like you're fair and square and you're Mr. Upright Boy Scout, but you're not. This law... This ballot initiative has been tested and tested and tested, both constitutionally and legally. It all also went to the California Supreme Court. You're telling me that the judges on the California Supreme Court are not as bright as Judge Vaughn Walker?
I'm sure that they're just as intelligent, but they're the California Supreme Court and only have the purview to judge based on the Constitution of the state of California.
I see. So the federal government has much more wisdom than states do. Is that your argument?
No, I'm saying that they judge on...
So the federal government knows more about the effects of illegal immigration than states do. Is that what you're arguing as well?
I'm sorry, what?
Why is it that the federal government refuses to follow the law of the land when it comes to immigration? And that when a state does it, they actually sue a state. Why is it? Because they're smarter than the state of Arizona? The federal government is wiser than the people of the state of Arizona?
I believe that the constitutional...
No, it's because the federal government has a political reason to override the people of the state of Arizona. The same way that this judge has a political animus towards the people of the state of California, which is why he nullified the votes of 7 million Californians. My friend, I don't think you followed this from the beginning, and I have to go back to the beginning. This proposition passed constitutional questions before it was even put onto the ballot. And believe me, the opponents of Prop 8 tried every trick in the book to destroy it before it even made it to the ballot, but they lost at every turn. Every test was passed by this proposition. It passed the California State Supreme Court, but they weren't satisfied. The radical leftists took it back to a friendly judge who they put in power specifically to do their bidding. And he has now said to the people of the state of California, you can drop dead. I am Vaughn Walker, Little Caesar, and I know more than you. And I shall be back in a moment here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Read you some of the reaction to today's ruling by Little Caesar in a black robe, Judge Vaughn Walker. My monologue is From Black Shirts to Black Robes. It's on michaelsavage.com, and I don't want to repeat what I've already said. State Attorney General and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Jerry Moonbeam Brown says he is happy. He says Judge Walker came to the same conclusion I did when I declined to defend it. So Jerry Brown is in favor of gay marriage. Maggie Gallagher, chairman of the board of National Organization for Marriage, says, here we have an openly gay federal judge substituting his views for those of the American people and of our founding fathers, who I promise you would be shocked by courts that imagine they have the right to put gay marriage in our Constitution. We call on the Supreme Court and Congress to protect the people's right to vote for marriage. We then hear from the disgraced San Francisco DA, Kamala Harris, who has let murderers and drug dealers walk the streets of San Francisco, some of them killing again and again. Here is a woman who is so bad that she is qualified to become attorney general again. She is, of course, thrilled that the gay marriage law was the law against gay marriage was thrown out. We then have Bishop Harry Jackson, senior pastor of Hope Christian Church and chair of Stand for Marriage DC Coalition. Here's what Bishop Harry Jackson says. The majority of Californians, including two-thirds of black voters in California, have just had their core civil right, the right to vote, stripped from them by an openly gay federal judge who has misread history and the Constitution to impose his San Francisco views on the American people. This is a travesty of justice. Now, he is a black pastor. I can guarantee you, as I sit here before this microphone, Harry Jackson will never be seen on the networks. Harry Jackson will never be heard from on the networks. But he just said something that is very, very close to what I just said. And it's not about gays. It's not about straights. It's really about my civil right to vote. And Harry Jackson said that I've just had my core civil right, and so have 7 million people, stripped from me by an openly gay federal judge who has misread history and the Constitution to impose his views on the American people. This is a travesty of justice. U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, very thrilled today that the gays have been able to overturn the people of the state of California. California GOP State Chair Ron Nering says, the California Republican Party is firm in its support for traditional marriage and blah, blah, blah. In other words, he said nothing. So what do you have to say about this today? This reaction today to one judge, a little Caesar, who voted to throw out 7 million votes. To me, that's the issue. It's beyond gay marriage. I keep repeating to you that one of the things I've always loved about California was the ballot process. And that I learned 25 years ago, long before I was in radio, that the ballot initiative was direct democracy. We know that in bigger elections, it's rigged. It's rigged from top to bottom, one way or the other. And we have very little power. And once we put a stooge in power, we're stuck with them for 6 to 16 years. We know that. That's how we get stuck with a stinker like Barbara Boxer or Dianne Feinstein. We get stuck with them for life because they were jury-rigged into these positions. We have almost no power over those elections. And so in the state of California, people who came in before I did put together the ballot initiative. And by the way, they were left-wing radicals who did this back in the 70s, I believe, and or the 60s. I don't even remember when it was done. And that is called direct democracy, where people go to the polls and they vote directly. Do you want taxes to be limited on your house? Yes or no? Yes. It passes and it becomes law. Then they wake up and find out that when a law passes that some special interests don't like, they shop it to a judge, an unconstitutional judge who hates the people, who may as well be a criminal gangster living in Venezuela, may as well be a stooge of Chavez put in there to do his bidding. And so he does the bidding of the special interest that put him there, and he says the vote doesn't count. So it's really much a sad day for everyone, gays and straights alike, who really respect the ballot process. And although today you may be celebrating, tomorrow you may be crying, because I have to take you by the hand and walk you down the aisle with me. Tomorrow the left may put out a ballot initiative. It may go on the ballot. It may be passed by a majority. And then when Obama is thrown out and the Democrats are thrown out and we have a conservative president, God willing, and we have a right-wing Congress, God willing, when the Tea Parties have their way, we shop the ruling to a right-wing judge and your ballot initiative is made null and void. How would you feel that day when your vote is thrown out of the window? So you see, this is very bad for all of us. And that's why I say we have gone from black shirts to black robes. There is virtually no difference between Vaughn Walker, the judge, and the fascists of Italy, who used tyrannical methods to impose their will on the people. That's my opinion. This man, Judge Walker, is not 7 million times more important than you are.
Savage.
In Today, a left-wing judge in a black robe ruled that you have no vote. That's Judge Vaughn Walker, Little Caesar. By the way, he was appointed by George Bush. Now, in Brooklyn, I have to read you something that a federal judge did this afternoon in Brooklyn. A Brooklyn federal judge just blocked the city from hiring 300 new firefighters. He ruled that a new 195 multiple-choice entrance test discriminates against blacks and Hispanics. Judge Nicholas Garofalos, or whatever, said that the test discriminates against blacks and Hispanics. Now, this is a result of a lawsuit by an organization for black firefighters who said that the test was discriminatory. Now, I ask you something. Because people cannot pass a test, does that make it unconstitutional? Because a dummy can't read or write, does that make it unconstitutional? Because a moron can't add 3 and 5, does that make it unconstitutional? Because an idiot doesn't speak English, does that make it unconstitutional to make sure he can't speak English? I mean, if you're having people run into a fire, maybe they ought to be able to speak the language. Or if you have a moron holding up a ladder, maybe he has to know something about the volume of water that is required to put out a certain fire. But no, not according to the Vulcan Society, which sued and said that it discriminates against blacks because the test holds them up to standards that are unnecessary for a firefighter. And so they found a judge. Again, whichever way you want to go, you can find them because they're as cheap as a hooker on the lowest street in town. What is a judge? I mean, what do you say? Oh, judge. What the hell is a judge? You know, say the word judge, and what do you think it is? It's a boy or a girl who went to law school, but instead of being a decent person who would just be a lawyer and practice the law, he was an ambitious lawyer, or she was an ambitious lawyer, and she wanted to lord it over people. So this lawyer became a politician, and the lawyer started to kiss certain behinds and make certain donations, and before long, this lawyer became a lower judge. And then the judge learned how to move ahead. The judge paid off other people by going to various fundraisers or whatever, or did certain biddings at lower court levels and became a higher judge, and so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, you have an Elena Kagan, a totally unqualified, radical left-winger, who tomorrow you're going to see she'll be ushered in by the very same Republicans who gave her none other than the disgrace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now you understand what's at stake with Kagan tomorrow. What happened today in San Francisco tells you what's at stake tomorrow with Kagan. Judge Vaughn Walker, what he did today, while it's very unsettling, is not unusual. It's been done to us before by the ACLU. Erwin Chemerinsky is the man behind this. I don't know how to spell his name, but I believe he is a professor at UC Irvine. He used to be the head of the ACLU in the state of California. Erwin Chemerinsky is the man behind all of this. He teaches at University of California at Irvine. He is the lawyer, I believe, in the ACLU, who I believe was one of the chief architects, I believe, of Judge Walker's ruling. In fact, I believe Judge Walker's ruling is a direct mirror of what Erwin Chemerinsky wrote for him. I don't believe the judge wrote 138 pages himself. I believe that the scribe, the judge, wrote what Erwin Chemerinsky of the ACLU wanted him to write. That's how I see it. He may as well have copied it word for word. Now I'll take your opinions. Nancy in Albany, how do you feel today? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
You're very right, Michael. And not only is this attack on their family, but it's an attack on religion. Marx, Lenin, Hitler, they all knew in order to get hold of society, you've got to get rid of the family and you have to stop religion. Because those are the two things that uphold your morality and your society. And once those two things are gone, there goes your society. And that seems to be the path that we're
going
on.
Well, it will give the state even more power over the family. And that's exactly what the left wing wants. The left wing wants the family to have little power and the state to have more power. And that's why there's such a phenomenal battle going on over this marriage issue. It has very little to do with whether or not gays wish to be married. Look, I can quote study after study from nations that are far more left-wing than ours and what evidence there is as to whether or not gay marriages really last and things of that nature. And they're citing Denmark, by the way. And it's not a very, very good study, incidentally. The results are not very interesting, but I'll read them to you because I think people to know this. Marriage by itself is already in trouble, and that's very important for us to know. And so anything that further weakens marriage, as far as I am concerned, is not good for our children or our society. And if you look at the countries that have legalized or are considering legalizing same-sex marriage, you will see that they have some of the lowest fertility rates in the world. For instance, in the Netherlands, Sweden, and Canada, they have birth rates that hover around 1.6 children per woman, which is well below the replacement fertility rate of 2.1. In other words, our society is on the way out the window to begin with. You look at nations where gay marriage is where gay marriage is actually legal, and you'll see something that the newspapers will not tell you. But I'm trying to find it for you right now, and I don't want to misquote myself. The average gay union or marriage, I think, lasts 1.3 years. And so although you read that it's something that some people want very much and this and that, if you look very carefully, you will see that the homosexual marriage issue itself, when actually analyzed in countries where it is legal, is not about a long-term commitment at all. And so I think this is about something other than gays and something other than gay marriage, which is why the majority of gay men and gay women could care less about marriage. It's really a small band of radicals within these communities that have been pushing this issue. And they're deeply connected to the radical left-wing agenda. That's the reason I'm involved with this at all. So if you want to talk about it, we can. Philadelphia, Matt, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm pretty apathetic as far as the whole gay marriage thing goes. And what I mean by that is, you know, I wouldn't sign a petition for or against, nor would I go to a rally for or against. But what this little vermin in a black robe, as you nicely put it, what he did is ridiculous. If people think this is not the start of the murder of democracy that we've been seeing a long line of, as soon as this administration, well, I shouldn't say that, Bush kind of came in and butchered it as well.
But all right, well, hold it. This judge, this Hitler, this Mussolini in a black robe, who was put in place by none other than George Bush Sr. Are you aware of that?
No, I was not.
Yeah, very few people know that. What does that tell you about the Bush family to begin with? But let's move past that.
And it's funny that you mentioned that this came up after it was killed so many times, because I've been walking around Princeton, Philadelphia, and I'm sure these people are around San Francisco, the ACLU, will put these little rats in blue smocks on the street with clipboards, and they stop you. You know, if you're just minding your own business, they'll stop you and get in your face and say, would you like this issue or that issue? Sign this, sign that. And two times in two different states I was stopped, and it was about the gay marriage. And it really struck me today when this came up. I was like, wow, it's all just kind of coming together. And you also brought up a good point about...
Why do you suppose that this is such a hot-button issue? How do you think the people in 19 states who have voted against gay marriage feel today? What do you think this says for democracy? Do you think this is going to engender people to care about the election? Do you think people are going to go out and vote even more to throw Obama out in the left wing when they have a chance in November, or less? That's the real issue. What do you think is going to happen in November? I personally think this is a disaster for the Democrats, because everyone knows that the Democrats are in favor of gay marriage. And by and large, I would say by and large, if you could actually get the Republicans on record, I would think most of them are opposed to gay marriage only because they think they have to be. The fact of the matter is, this may cause millions to vote who normally would not have voted. So this is a further blow to Obama. You can look at the bigger picture. 1-800-449-8255. San Diego, Sam, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dr. Savage. I'm glad to be the first person from California to address this issue. I'm an African or American of African descent, live in San Diego, and when I went to the ballot box two years ago, I did regrettably vote for President Obama, but I voted yes on Proposition 8. In Proposition 8, it's just not called Proposition 8. Proposition 8 is called the Eliminating the Right to Marry for Same-Sex Couple. It says eliminating the right of same-sex couples to marry, and you have to vote yes on it. And they worded it like that on purpose, because they said to themselves, no one's going to want to eliminate the rights of people.
The opponents of this have used every dirty trick in the book, and they've lost at every turn. And today they found a judge who acted in a super constitutional manner to nullify the votes of 7 million people. What he did was more unconstitutional than Proposition 8 ever could be. And I don't want this lost in today's discussion, Sam, before I go back to you. We keep hearing from people who are calling radio shows to say, well, he said it's unconstitutional. The judge said it's unconstitutional. The judge said it's unconstitutional. All you're hearing is the word unconstitutional. I want you to remember in discussing this tonight with your family and friends that they're lying, number one, because the constitutionality of this measure was discussed before it was even allowed to go on the ballot itself, number one. Number two, what the judge did is, in fact, unconstitutional. Nowhere in the U.S. Constitution does it say that a judge has the right to throw out the votes of citizens. I don't see that anywhere in the U.S. Constitution. That is an invention of the radical left. So please continue.
And the other thing I was going to say is that if the ballot would have said that we would give all the rights that married couples have to same-sex couple, but not call it marriage, call it a civil union, I would have voted for that because I do believe that same-sex couples should have all of the same rights. But the nomenclature is the issue, because once you start calling it marriage, then you can go to a church that receives tax-exempt status, and you can make that church marry you because it's written in the law now that they have to support your right to be married. And if I'm a church and I don't marry you, then I can lose my tax-exempt status.
Thank you very much. This is a direct attack on the church itself. It's an attack on the Bible. And that's the intent. That's why the ACLU is so clever. That's why Erwin Chemerinsky, in his infinite devilish ways, has fought so hard for this day. They want to destroy the church and the Bible itself.
So you're exactly correct. And I mean, and they're doing it very cunningly, and I know exactly what's happening. They're going state by state, and once
you see, I'll tell you, I think you're right, and I think that we're on the right side of things, and I think this is a temporary setback. But in the long sweep of history, I truly believe God has done this for a reason. And that is to awaken people to the danger they are in from these radical left-wing judges. You know, there's a writer, I forget his name, who's dying of cancer right now. He wrote a book a few years ago saying there is no God. He wrote a book saying God is dead, there never was a God, and he mocked God. I wake up today and I read that he's dying of the most painful kind of cancer where he can hardly move his body without screaming in pain. And he said he believes that he's being punished because he cursed God. That's what he wrote. A man who doesn't even believe in God, as he's dying of cancer, is suddenly saying he's being cursed because he cursed God. Let me tell you, my friends, I wouldn't be standing here in front of this microphone. I would have been dead 7 different times in my life. I know that there's a God, and I know that God is in heaven, and I know that God is watching this country. And I also know, I'm talking one man to an audience, laugh at me if you will, I am telling you this is all God's hand written all over it. It's to show the American people the danger we are in, how far the radical left-wing agenda has gone, and how far we can go unless we finally get off our behinds and vote Obama and the Democrats out in November. That's exactly what I think. I think that everything is in play. I think there is actually a silver lining in this. I think it's going to organize people in a way that they wouldn't have been organized. I think it's going to motivate millions of people who are so pissed off today that they're going to vote out every Democrat in the state. I'll be right back.
Savage.
A tsunami of radical left-wing activism hit America today. 19 states have voted against gay marriage. And in the state of California, we saw today that the votes of 7 million people have been nullified by one man in a black robe. And that's why my headline is From Black Shirts to Black Robes on my website. Now, I want to make a note of it, and I know that you can't buy the book Trickle Up Poverty, but I am sending you to Amazon, and I'll tell you why. You know, when I wrote the title Trickle Up Poverty, people thought it was only about the economy. Well, it is about the economy, but it's also about the poverty of our society, the poverty of our morality, the poverty of our military, the poverty of every institution as a result of left-wing madness. And if you look at this judge today and you listen to the lies coming out of the impoverished media who says, well, he only said it's unconstitutional, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. The fact of the matter is what Judge Walker did by nullifying the votes of 7 million people, to me, is far more unconstitutional than any proposition I have ever seen. Where is it written, in what constitution is it written, that a judge has this much power? You cannot find that in the U.S. Constitution. Jimmy in Michigan, quickly, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think the biggest problem that we have is that the state even involves itself in marriage. Marriage is a covenant between two people and God. It is up to, the state wants to become God, and that is the biggest problem that we have.
Well, you are right up to a point. However, if people are seeking a legal document which says you are married and they go to a state, they are actually in their rights to ask the state to do that. People don't understand this, but marriage is not in the U.S. Constitution. Let me repeat this. Marriage is not in the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution of our nation guarantees that state policies should be by the people, not by the judges. The U.S. Constitution also supports states' rights. And this means that marriage is under the state's jurisdiction. I want to repeat that. The U.S. Constitution says that all policy should be by the people in a state, not by the judges. The U.S. Constitution supports the right of states or states' rights. That's how it was set up to avoid a dictatorship of the federal government. And that's why the founders created states' rights in the Constitution. Therefore, every state, in fact, does have a right to create its own laws on marriage. That's why there are states that differ on their laws of marriage. And that is why marriage is a state, is under state jurisdiction. And I predict that when it is again brought up to a higher office, this rat, this dirty rat, this un-American rat will be seen for what he is. He has nullified the votes of 7 million Californians, very well knowing that this passed constitutional muster several times, very well knowing that the California Supreme Court itself had upheld it in its ruling, very well knowing that he was simply doing the bidding of the people who had put him in power, period, end of story. 1-800-449-8255, from black shirts to black robes. I have presented my arguments today, and I have tried to avoid the issue of sexuality. Although it's very hard to avoid, it really isn't the issue to me. The issue is having votes nullified by a radical judge. And although people don't want to see it that way, that's the bigger picture. They may be celebrating today because a law they like, a law they did not like, got nullified. But they may not like it tomorrow if a ballot initiative that they worked so hard to pass and has passed legally and in every other manner is suddenly nullified by one rat in a black robe. We are not supposed to be living in a tyranny. A tyranny of the right or a tyranny of the left is the same tyranny. Right now, we're living under the tyranny of the left. Tomorrow will be different, I can guarantee you. So before you celebrate and have celebrations in the street and dance the Bacchanal, let me warn you, you may not be dancing 5 years from now. Mike in New York on WOR, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think it's just ridiculous that a leftist judge or the left somehow justifies this ruling by saying it's a violation of individuals' rights and it's a violation of the Constitution. But at the same time, they'll turn around and they'll use something like the Commerce Clause to justify an invasion into our bodies with the Obamacare and the individual mandate. Yeah. It's such a double standard. It's unbelievable.
Obamacare was voted down today in the state of Missouri. One by one, the states are going to override the little dictator with the big ears that we have in the White House. The little dictator with the big ears is being seen for what he is, and one state at a time is going to throw out Obamacare. And I predict on this show today that once again Proposition 8 will be judged by more honorable men than Little Caesar here in San Francisco, and once again Proposition 8 will be upheld. Read my monologue from black shirts to black robes and see if you agree or disagree. This is Michael Savage, the author of Trickle Up Poverty.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is huge. This ruling is going to be so important because if we look at California for a second, the California Supreme Court found that Proposition 8 was valid law. But that was under California law. Now a federal court is looking at it and will determine under federal law if it is constitutional. There are a majority of states in this country that have, via constitutional amendments for their state constitutions or via statutes, that gay marriage is prohibited. So the ruling here can impact the other states that have that ruling that it's being deemed unconstitutional or constitutional. We'll see how it runs.
Of course, the big ruling today is that one judge has nullified the votes of millions of people. Now, this vote on homosexual marriage is very interesting in that the state Supreme Court itself has said that it is constitutional. But it was shopped back to one gay judge. That's right, the judge is gay. That's been left out of all the stories. Vaughn Walker is a notable member of the homosexual community. This single judge has said, I am more powerful than millions of Californians. I know more than millions of Californians. I am better than millions of Californians. The peons know nothing. I am better than them. And like the Caesar he is in his own mind, he has nullified the votes of millions of Californians. Now, he claims that the proposition which banned gay marriage is unconstitutional. Is the vote of one man, which supersedes that of millions, is that constitutional? Show me where in the Constitution it says that one man shall have the power over millions of men. It doesn't. And so as you see, this is all a charade. And that is why today's monologue is from black shirts to black robes. Left-wing judge in a black robe ruled that you have no vote. Judge Vaughn Walker, who was appointed by George Bush Sr., has struck down California's Proposition 8. Now, that prop said that marriage shall only be between a man and a woman. In a 138-page decision, this would-be Caesar assaulted and insulted the voters of the state of California. This would-be Caesar claimed that Prop 8 places the force of law behind stigmas against gays and lesbians. This little Caesar claimed that the right to marry protects an individual's choice of marital partner, regardless of sex. The little Caesar claimed domestic partnerships do not satisfy California's obligation to allow plaintiffs to marry. But what's more important to know is that Judge Vaughn Walker, the little Caesar, has stolen the votes of 7 million people. Now, you should know that little Caesar, Judge Vaughn Walker, happens to be gay. This is a fact that the media refuses to report to you. He also happens to be a radical left-winger. In 1999, Little Caesar rejected arguments from the parents of a boy who claimed their religious rights were violated by pro-gay comments their son's teacher had made in the classroom. In 2005, Little Caesar sided with the city of Oakland against two employees who placed flyers promoting natural family marriage and family values. This is not an impartial judge. This is a dictator in black robes. Now, in the 1920s and 1930s, Mussolini, the fascist dictator of Italy, send thugs in black shirts out into the streets to beat up anyone who might oppose his tyrannical regime. Mussolini used brutality and stole votes in order to get into power. But not even he had the audacity to steal 7 million votes to achieve his ends. Proposition 8 was passed by the voters of California in 2008 after very, very careful decisions and debate. Even though the state voted for Obama, an overwhelming majority of Californians said that marriage was supposed to be between a man and a woman. 7 million California voters said that. 9 out of 10 black voters supported it, by the way. 7 out of 10 Hispanic voters supported that, I believe. And now one bitter little Caesar has voted to throw all those votes out the window. So the question really is this. Is Judge Vaughn Walker 7 million times more important than you are? One judge has nullified the votes of millions. Do you think this is constitutional? Michael Savage says no. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. The far-left judge, Vaughn Walker, has nullified the will of the people of California and struck down Proposition 8. Here is the left-wing fascist media gloating over the nullification of the votes of 7 million people.
The California Supreme Court found that Proposition 8 was valid law.
Breaking news coming out of California.
As we turn our attention here now to some breaking news.
Proposition 8 has been found to be unconstitutional.
The judges overturned the gay marriage ban in that state.
This is huge.
2 o'clock this afternoon, California time. Gay marriage is now lawful in California.
This decision has been overturned by a federal court. Decision has been overturned is the preliminary information that I'm getting.
On Proposition 8 coming to us from California, as a district judge has overturned California's same-sex marriage ban, a victory for gay marriage activists.
It's pretty much a foregone conclusion. The U.S. Supreme Court will be asked to look at the case.
This is a huge victory for same-sex marriage supporters, a huge victory for everyone who wanted to see Proposition 8 overturned.
The measure, which voters approved, bars same-sex couples from marriage.
52% of the people in California voted for Proposition 8.
It's a very, very important decision that has just been reached.
But I think you'd have to say that this is a large victory.
I believe this judge should be sent to prison for discarding the votes of millions of Californians.
The other aspect to this is the voters' rights, because a voter believes that when they go to a ballot box and they vote, that they are going to have an impact. And 52% of the people in California voted for Proposition 8. So there's also an aspect of diluting the strength of the voting majority.
Of course, any Tewsom Newsom and Governor Moonbeam Jerry Brown couldn't care less. Meanwhile, the ACLU is suing to try and stop the government from trying to execute a known terrorist.
But two civil liberties groups say in pursuing him, the U.S. government is betraying its own constitutional principles.
In America, we give American citizens and all individuals due process of law before we put them to death.
Because the Treasury Department has placed al-Awlaki on a special terror list, the groups say they're required to get a government license to represent his interests.
Groups like ours shouldn't have to play mother may I with the federal government when our goal is to challenge governmental policies that target U.S. citizens for assassination.
What despicable worms. And in the case of the Ground Zero Mosque, even the neutral ADL is opposed to that mosque.
Our position basically was an appeal to the imam and his supporters. If you want to heal, if you want to reconcile, is this the best place to do it? Should you do it in the face of those who are saying to you, most of the victims, families of the victims, the responders, are saying, please don't do it here. Please don't do it in our cemetery. In the 80s, you may remember, the Carmelite nuns wanted to build a nunnery, a convent in Auschwitz. Their purpose was to pray for Jewish souls, for reconcile, to heal. For 8 years, there was a major controversy. We were opposed to it. Many called us bigots, and we said we were anti-Catholic, we were anti-Vatican, anti-Christian. So finally, Pope John Paul stood up, and he said, you know what? They're right. And he moved the convent for a mile outside of Auschwitz.
I, Michael Savage, will be right back.
Savage.
You know, you are lied to on such a regular basis that you don't even understand what's going on. Illegal immigrants don't pay federal income taxes. And those who do pay federal income taxes, okay, get the money back when they file tax returns. Many illegals are also claiming tax credits, which result in payments from the U.S. Treasury. Criminal aliens account for over 29% of prisoners in Federal Bureau of Prisons facilities. Let's stop at that figure again. Criminal aliens account for over 29% of prisoners in Federal Bureau of Prisoners prison facilities, and they compose a higher share of all federal prison inmates. Now, let's pause at that. Do you have any idea what that costs? With an estimated cost of, what, $50,000, $60,000 a prisoner? Do you know how much this is costing us? Do you have any idea what the cost of illegal immigration is? A new study was done about a month ago. Illegals cost U.S. taxpayers about $113 billion a year at the federal, state, and local level. About $84 billion are absorbed by state and local governments. They're all bankrupt. So like locusts who have come across the border, and I'm sorry to put it in those terms, but there are costs. There are social costs. Do you understand there are social costs to social actions? Well, the social cost of turning the other way and turning the other cheek to illegal aliens coming into this country and breaking our laws are such that we have a broken society. So you have one state that says enough is enough. We can't take the gangs. We can't take the shooting of the police. They're killing our cops. They're overrunning the ranches. Arizona had to give up a good piece of a national park because of the drug dealing. And the federal government takes the side of the foreign invaders? Do you have any idea what you're seeing in front of your eyes? Social Security is still in trouble, but the Obama administration is doing nothing to try and fix it. The left is more focused on attacking the right than it is on reforming this program before it's too late. Joining us now is Michael Tanner from the Cato Institute, whose recent article brings up the question, what's their plan? Michael Tanner, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's a pleasure to be with you again today.
Well, how do you see this article, this picture, rather?
Well, the fact is that Social Security is growing increasingly insolvent. It is running a budget deficit today that's temporary, but that deficit is going to become permanent within about 6 years. That is, it'll be permanently paying out more in benefits than it's taking in revenue. Now, of course, in theory, it can go back to the Social Security Trust Fund and continue to pay benefits for another 25 or 30 years, but we all know that there are no actual assets in that trust fund. It is a collection of IOUs, a promise that the government will tax someone in order to continue to pay those benefits. The big problem starts when Social Security begins to run a cash flow deficit, and that's going to be within 6 years. You can't deny the mathematics of this. And unfortunately, the Democratic leadership right now seems so intent upon attacking Republicans that it is not willing to face up to the simple math.
How much of this is an attack on the right, and how much of it is a head-in-the-sand mentality?
Well, there's certainly a little bit of both. I think there's a lot of head-in-the-sand mentality when you hear Harry Reid, for example, say that there's no problem with Social Security and that it's the best program the government has ever developed. That's certainly just denying reality. On the other hand, the Democrats have for years used Social Security as a weapon to beat Republicans about the head and shoulders with come election time. And they've already started again. In Nevada, Harry Reid is running television ads saying that Sharon Angle wants to do away with Social Security. In Kentucky, the Democrats are running ads quoting Rand Paul as saying he favors Social Security privatization in remarks he made in 1998. So once again, we're seeing Social Security become an issue in this election in a way that is purely misleading and purely demagogic.
Well, how are these attacks solving anything?
Well, it certainly doesn't solve the problem. And that's the question I think I wish a lot of the mainstream media would ask. It's perfectly fair to ask Republicans about their plans. And Republicans say they want to have personal accounts for Social Security or they want to raise the retirement age or whatever they want to do. It's perfectly legitimate to press the Republicans on how they're going to do that. But at the same time, when the Democrats attack, someone needs to ask them, what is their plan? With Social Security facing deficits of in excess of almost $16 trillion going forward, how do they plan to fix the system? And it's not good enough just to say, oh, my Republican opponent hates old people and wants them to eat cat food. The Democrats have to come up with a plan of their own, and so far they are not offering anything.
Any signs that this problem is going to be corrected?
Well, this one is actually not rocket science. You have more money going out than you have coming in. And I think no one has ever put it better than Bill Clinton. actually, when he explained the problem. If you have more money going out than you have coming in, there's only three things you can do. You can bring in more money. That means raising taxes. Or you can reduce the amount of money you've got going out. That means cutting benefits. Or you can make better use of the money you have by investing it in something that earns a real rate of return through private accounts or something like that. Now, if you're a candidate and you rule out the idea of private investment, then you're left with raising taxes and cutting benefits. If you go on to say, I'm not going to raise the retirement age, I'm not going to cut benefits, then you're left with raising taxes. So any candidate who says he won't cut benefits or privately invest is in favor of a tax increase. That's essentially the only choices you have.
Yeah, but will they do that?
There really isn't a great deal of courage on either side of this. There is a proposal by Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, which I would gradually restore Social Security to solvency and would give younger workers a chance to privately invest a small portion of their Social Security taxes through individual accounts. But so far he has something like 11 or 12 co-sponsors, and none of the Republican leadership has been willing to sign on. So they haven't exactly been profiles in courage. You know, the traditional response by Republicans is the Democrats attack them for wanting to destroy Social Security. The Republican curls up in a fetal position and begs for mercy, saying how much they love their grandmother. The reality is that they need to come up with some answers, too.
Where do you think it goes from here?
Well, the fact is we're not going to be able to ignore this forever. As I say, within 6 years, Social Security begins to run a permanent cash flow deficit, spending more than it's taking in. We are going to have to address this. The question is going to be, is either party willing to face up to it? Right now, we have the cowardly party and the demagogic party. I wish we had the courage party.
Michael Tanner, thanks for the report.
Thank you much. I've really enjoyed it.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. One judge nullifies the votes of millions. Is this constitutional? And then from the New York Post, a new hijacking. Yesterday, the Constitution was slimed and perverted by a group of Muslim Americans determined to erect a 13-story mosque and Islamic Center a stone's throw from the spot where nearly 3,000 innocent Americans were slaughtered. They say there's confusion around the, quote, assassination attempt on Iran's Hitler. I don't believe that it was actually an assassination attempt. I would suspect that it was his own cohorts who did it in order to permit him to crack down on the opposition. George Soros tied to many Marxist groups. Read all about it on michaelsavage.com. Here's a big story. Oh, Missouri voters vote to block Obama's health insurance mandate. From the AP, Justice Department threatens to sue Sheriff Joe for doing their job. The Treasury Department will grant two civil liberties groups a license to file a lawsuit on behalf of Anwar al-Awlaki, the American-born Islamic cleric tied to al-Qaeda, who the government wants to execute. The ACLU wants to keep him alive.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
I see change, but inside we're the same as we ever were.
In a recent article, Andrew Durham on webcommentary.com brings up the argument for free speech in a piece entitled The Savage Nation versus the Dying Nation. He joins us now to give us some background on the article.
Well, England is basically gone. It's not the power that it used to be. And everybody knows that. You know, they've been our allies for a great many years. I mean, everybody knows that. But recently, I mean, especially the thing with you, you know, it's like, you know, when does this end? You know, it's unbelievable that they're doing this. And it's unbelievable that nobody is commenting on it. You know, these people that pretend that they're into the First Amendment and live for it are not mentioning this, because this is enormous and nobody's talking about it. And that bothers me on a huge level, because I'm a writer, and it's like, when are they going to come for me? You know, when are they going to come for everybody that supports you? When's it going to end? It started with this, which was the beginning. England was the beginning of all this. Now, the Magna Carta and all that stuff, and we have the Constitution, which everybody's ignoring. When does it end? You know, and that really bothers me on an enormous level, and I think it's a huge, huge issue that you're going through this, and nobody's paying any attention to it. And there are very few ideas that I would die for, but the First Amendment is one of them.
Why is there so much silence out there on this?
Well, there's jealousy. I mean, you're talking about uneducated people. You're talking about people that good old boys network. They have an agenda. You know, they're Republicans. They say they're conservatives, but they're really Republicans. To me, there's two different things going on there. And they don't understand nationalism. They don't understand independent thinking. They don't understand people that think for themselves. They're trying to push an agenda, and I have a problem with that. I've always had a problem with that, because if you're an independent thinker, nobody wants to hear from you, because you have your own mind, and you're not trying to push something. And, you know, that's where you are, and that's why you're ignored, and that's why these stupid people, you know, just don't understand where you're coming from. I mean, there is no media anymore. I mean, everybody who has a mind knows there's no media anymore. Nobody uncovers anything. Nobody does any investigating reporting. What they do is they buy a logic, or what they try to pass as a logic. They do press releases, and that's about it.
Where do you think it goes from here?
I really don't know, to be honest with you, because it's, you know, it's frightening on a number of levels. And I don't mean to be pessimistic, you know, or cynical, but I'm a realist. And I just really don't know where it's going to go. I mean, once you start it, where's it going to stop? I really can't answer that. You know, the only thing that's going to have to happen is people really get serious about ousting people from office, because it's been too long. I mean, nobody deserves to be a congressman or a senator for 30 years. I mean, when the Constitution was written, when the Declaration of Independence was written, there was no provision for professional politicians, and there shouldn't be. They were supposed to be voluntary, and that ain't happening. You know, I live in New York State, and we've just been through a huge problem with people that have been in office for too long, and, you know, they've done all this crap, and there's got to be some limit on this whole thing. You know, people are making too much money off what they pretend are their constituents.
What do you think the chances of the Tea Parties have making a change?
Well, they got to get serious. You know, they have to go to the polls. Unfortunately, I don't really believe in the system, so what's going to happen is going to happen, and it's decided beforehand. I mean, you know that. I mean, you've mentioned it hundreds of times. We got to get serious.
Do you think we're going to see a cycle of truth in the media?
No, nobody in the media is going to step out and do anything. That's been proven over and over again in the last couple of years. They've been sold a bill of goods, and we've all seen, anybody with a mind has seen that it's not working. And, you know, the man is inexperienced. He has no idea what he's doing. And all he does is campaign. He doesn't work. You know, and as a citizen of the United States, I have a problem with that. When George Bush was in office, yeah, he had a lot of faults, but he was the CEO. You know, he worked. You didn't see him campaigning every day on TV. I mean, that's the mark of an insecure person. You know, and you know, and you've psychoanalyzed this guy. He's got issues, and we're all paying for it. You know, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I wish I could answer you, but I can't. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's what's the frightening part of it, is, you know, we're in a dangerous time here. You know, we've given up to Russia. China's about to take over the world. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? What happens after that? You know, I'm sorry, but that's the best answer I can give you.
Where can we read more?
Web commentary, American Chronicle. I have my own blog spot, andrewtdurham.blogspot.com. I do a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I don't just write about politics. Politics is too easy, you know, because everyone's a moron.
Ha ha.
And you know that. But I just, you know, I write about whatever I feel like. You know, that's really about it, you know, and that's what I do.
Andrew Durham, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on. Hope to talk to you again later. And I hope everything works out for you. And, you know, there are a lot of us who are praying for you and pushing for you.
As England means to me.
Is there anything that you have said or any of your views that you think might provoke people into violence?
Let me clear the record on that. Jackie Smith's homepage on the Home Secretary's page states my words have led to violence, which is a total fabrication. None of my words have ever led to violence for the simple reason that I don't call for violence. I don't provoke violence. And moreover, I want to say that provoking violence is illegal in the United States as well. How in the world could she allege that my words have caused violence while I'm still on the air all these 15 years?
I'll be right back. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, Barnes & Noble for sale. Then a black worker went on a rampage and killed seven co-workers. He says he was the victim of workplace racism, but he was really fired for stealing beer. So he went in and shot eight terrified co-workers to death. And the vermin at CNN said, did racism put him over the edge? Was the taunting that what did it? That's right. That's what we have in America. That's right. Child rapist stamped to death in prison cell by fellow inmate. Wow. Terrible. Listen, for those of you who are interested in the truth, can I suggest two things to you? Please take a look at Healing Children Naturally, A to Z Natural Approaches for Natural Complaints, only on michaelsavage.com. And if you really want to see how ahead of the time I really am and how ahead of the curve I really am, go to Amazon.com. Punch in Trickle Up Poverty. You'll get a sneak preview both of the cover and the outline of my new book coming out in October. It's only on Amazon.com. This is Michael Savage. I don't know what year it was, 85. I was a corporate consultant. I was flying around the country. And in those days, you could drink on the plane. You know, there was no like a security like today, the insanity of today. For better or for worse, that's the world we're living in. So we hit turbulence, as I say, somewhere, I don't know, Midwest. I don't know where. Like, we had a turbulent situation last week where people got injured on a plane because the pilot flew through it, whatever. So here we're bouncing around, and I'm ordering drinks. And the stewardess in those days was serving the drinks. She's holding on to chairs, and the way they calmed you down is that if there was a guy who liked to drink during turbulence, they served you. So I'm sitting there, and next to me is a very elegant Chinese lady who it turned out was the CEO of a major American corporation, and she wouldn't say a word to me when she got on. I wasn't pestering her. You get on. I was, you know, first class, big deal. What that means today, nothing. And I wanted to be, you know, a conversation. How are you? And nothing. All right. So I leave her alone. I figured that's what she wants. She has a right. You know what I mean? So I go about my business, and I'm writing my stuff and reading. She don't talk. I don't talk. About 2 hours later, the turbulence, and I'm drinking. By this time already, I was flying high. I was drinking my way across America, as I normally did in those days. I ordered more. I guess I said, give me two. Give me two at this time. And I'm having a good time, and I'm writing when pasta was spaghetti, having a great time flying over the Rockies. And the woman was so frightened, she reached out and grabbed my arm, and she said something to me, who remembers what? And I started speaking with her. It turns out that her father or grandfather in China, so she told me, was a famous healer and herbalist. So we had a lot to talk about. I never saw her again. But the point is that I wrote a wonderful poem in the turbulence of those times, in those turbulent times, entitled When Pasta Was Spaghetti. Let's hear it right now. The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then, in neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged-over window on a cold winter's eve. There was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smile scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. Now you're supposed to play the tarantella, will you please? That's what keeps the audience going. That's right. God, I'd love to go to an Italian wedding in the backyard today. I wish I had that to look forward to Saturday. No one has that. Everything's too fancy. That's the problem. I remember hearing when I was young the story of the Italian who grew up very poor. And he worked hard, became a very wealthy man. And as he was going along, you know, he went from what he had in his house, because the parents were humble, you know, the homemade wine, the homemade sausage. And the father smoked these 10-cent cigars, whatever they were called, the Roytans. I don't even know what they were, from the candy store. But as the son became a rich man in America, particularly in California, he got to the Cuban cigar and the $200, $300, $400 bottle of wine and everything the best, the Ferrari, the Rolls. And then as the man, the rich man, became older and he could settle down and no longer had to make waves and show who he was, and he just settled into living his life on his estate, his clothing became simpler again. He'd often be seen walking around his estate in old clothes and shamble around in his undershirt. And guess what? He came to love the homemade wine again, and the cigars that his servant got for him down in the luncheonette in the poorer districts. And you know something? I got to tell you, there's a lot of truth to that story. The reason it's true is because what in the world do you really need when it comes right down to it? You need your health, number one. I don't want to get into this whole old, you know, but what do you really need? You need your health and you need your family. So if you have your health and your family, I mean, the rest is gravy. Isn't that true? I mean, what do you really want? What do you really want? I don't know. What am I asking you this question for? You can't answer me anyway. I have a perception and reality issue that I want to talk with you about. Perception versus reality. Now, what do I mean by that? I have a perception about Barack Hussein Obama that he is a distinct radical, revolutionary, and a Marxist, and I was the first one in the media to point that out. Now, is my perception reality? Or is it simply my biases imposing themselves on my perception and upon the reality of who Obama really is? Okay? So let's analyze it. Why would the man who was the president of the United States continue to appoint people in the middle of the night to major positions, and why would he appoint czars bypassing the Senate? Why would he take over one company after another? Now, I can go down the list. In that regard, I'm using an analysis of the facts rather than my own perceptions and my biases. So, in other words, my perceptions are correct. They're not based upon my biases. and therefore Obama is a Marxist radical. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that I know in my own personal life that I often have a confused, distorted view of people who I don't see. In other words, it's very easy to send off a hateful or angry email, and you can start a war with them over nothing. It's the same for relatives who aren't living near you. How many times have you gotten angry at a relative through email or on the phone? They didn't call you, they didn't return a call, and you start to change your picture of them, right? And you demonize them. And then when you see them, it's a different reality and you love them again, whether it's your parents or your children or your aunt or your uncle. It's the same with politicians and the same with talk show hosts. In other words, your perceptions of Michael Savage, what are your perceptions of Michael Savage? And what are they based upon? What are they based upon? Are they based upon your biases? And do they alter your reality of who Michael Savage is? You don't know who I am, and I don't know who you are. What I am saying is a direct meeting of people is the most important thing in a point of view, whether it's on a world stage in order to avert a war. In other words, diplomacy, very important. It's the same in business. It's the same in interpersonal relations. It's the same in family. But I want to get back to perception versus reality and our biases imposing themselves upon our perception and changing reality. When it comes to the president, and am I being overly harsh in calling him a Marxist or Leninist? I decide you report this is the Savage Nation. Suddenly, it's 1967. This is the Summer of Love Part 2. We have an endless war as we did in Vietnam in 67. We have a shaky Democrat president who's about to either retire at the end of one term, saying his position is untenable, or he'll be thrown out after one term. The economy is in hell, and the people are reverting to drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
Savage.